Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get lost in a better place. Pick up the world, travel through time and space. So much to learn, so much to see. A chance to escape reality. Open your mind and your heart. Get a fresh new start. MJ Network will bring you there. So let's talk about it when live and on the air.
This is Fran Lewis, and I'm waiting for the author of The Machine Murders to call in. We seem to be having a problem today with the connection. I don't know why. It's just not going through. So I'm going to try again to dial him, and hopefully I'll be able to get him on the phone. It's not happening. I just don't know. And I'm telling you, tell him to call in. The Machine Murders is a really interesting book about an AI machine that connects to try to find people that are going to commit murders or murders that are about to be committed. And I'm just going to wait for CJ to call in, but I'm waiting, and he doesn't happen to be calling. I just sent him the number, and I can only do what I can do. So we're going to talk about what's coming up next, which is I don't even know at this point. And I'm going to try to see if I can get his email address, which might help. And I'm still waiting for the author to call in from Greece. I'm still waiting for the author to call in. I hope he calls in. Yes, it is. I'm still waiting. And I'm waiting to see if I have his email address. Otherwise, I'm going to have to cancel this, because I can't stay on here forever. I don't know what happened. But he's not coming on. Nope. This is getting to me. I have to call him again. I'm going to get charged for this. Hi, do you have the number to call in? To America? Or can't you do that? I tried calling you again and it's not letting it go through. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to just... The number is 51, it's not going through to a foreign country, I don't know why. 515-602-9671 is the number of the station. Okay. knows? We'll see. Hello?
Hello, Bob. That's Constantine. How do you do?
I gotcha.
All right. Can you hear me well?
Okay. I'm going to make my sound a little louder. It's
okay.
Been like a nightmare. What can I say? Okay.
All right.
He is here. This book is so amazing. How did you create this machine? And how did you come up with this to create an AI machine that does that? I just sat down and read it and got eye strain. I couldn't put it down.
Thank you. Well, I just had to do read current affairs, you know, because if you remember back in 2016, there was this whole debate about using machine learning techniques, and that's why we're calling the novel The Machine Murders. You can find it on Amazon. For influencing political campaigns this or the other way towards that or another candidate. And the idea that came to me was, what if we could possibly use the same techniques that bring us AI, that's part of AI, not only to influence the average voter towards a specific candidate, but to influence somebody who shares easily identifiable characteristics via his social media and web use to influence him to commit a murder. The idea is that this person will have dark traits, and you would be able to figure out the type of person that he would be. And this is the basis of the machine murders. This is what it comes to, what it's all about. I've been trying to figure out technically if this is possible. And also, I think the best way to learn it is through a story, through a novel story. And that's what I've done.
Oh, this really scared me, let me tell you. But I think there's an awful lot of people that would love to have one of those machines, to be very honest, to take care of an awful lot. So what is the he sent the program to Interpol to monitor, and why? Why did he go up in a hot air balloon? That would scare me. Forget it.
Well, you know, that's part of the story. As the story evolves, he's called on to solve, in the first place, to solve this series of murders in the island of Mykonos in Greece. The second one, he knows what it's about. He works for Interpol. He has his team set up. And he's called upon to solve a similar kind of type of murders in the United Arab Emirates. So that's why he's visiting them.
So why did Charlie take him, and what was the goal? How did it fail? I mean, what instruments do you use in order to do this?
Well, you know, it's explained in the book. What's happening is that, you know, people want to take him some parts. Some people want to take him away from what's actually happening in there. And they find a needed distraction, which is to fly him elsewhere and do that because it's a balloon festival that's happening there. And they're doing that with a cloudhopper hot air balloon. And that also coincides with the way the murders are happening in the Emirates at that particular point in time.
Tell us about Manos Manu and his Interpol, and what his job is, because you get a feeling that you're not really sure about him, that he's hiding something, and I like the character.
Well, I don't want to, to be a spoiler for those who are going to be reading the book.
Right.
But it's evident that Manos has been able to reverse engineer this AI system and slowly come up with a short list of possible killers. He's pretty handy at it. So it's very plausible that he knows lots more than he's letting showing at first.
Yeah, I know. You begin to wonder back and forth as I read the book, like, are they going to do something to him? Is he really for real? So tell us about it, his girlfriend, and how does May come into it? She was really loyal to him, and I was really impressed with her. She's another good character.
It's very protective of him. Both the data scientists. So what they're doing is what united them is that they're using data to come up with concrete results. I think they have a very particular view on sapiens and humans. The way they deal with presuppositions is essentially defined by the worldview. And the worldview is that we're data machines that come up with actions. And this, I believe, unites them. She becomes his technical sidekick. She becomes the more artistic side of data science. Because, you know, in data science, you need both the artist and the mathematician. So they complement each other quite well.
So how dangerous is it to create use artificial intelligence? So I know in America they're starting to use it in school, and I'm beginning to wonder, I'm a reading specialist, that if I would still teaching reading, I wouldn't want to use an artificial intelligence. I want to do it myself. So how safe and how dangerous is it to use artificial intelligence? Is it something that we're going to all have to get used to eventually?
Yeah, I think it's a tool. But it's a significant tool because for the first time we disassociate intelligence from our human bodies. And this comes with a whole lot of implication about what's going to come about. And the very ideas that carried us through, like the soul or consciousness or learning, this or another way, are pretty much getting redefined. But it's still a tool. So as a tool, we should learn how to embrace it. And I believe the best way to embrace a tool is to read a story about it, to read fiction, to play around with a story. So whenever I get too technical in this novel, I apologize, but I find out that readers follow along most of the time because they're interested both in the technology and what it means and in what it can do for them. As I said, the best way to teach yourself is to write a story. The best way to learn about the world, this new world, is to read about our technology and essentially come around and use it.
Well, I did, and I did some research because I like knowing things. But this was like, I sat down and read the book, and I couldn't put it down. I was like, what's going to happen next? So I have a lot more questions, is there going to be a sequel to this? Are you going to write more with the same characters, I hope?
Well, I think they are a good template of examining what artificial intelligence is and does to us, how it can solve murders, how it can create murders, how it can influence events, how it can redefine us, ourselves, and the ideas we have about ourselves. I choose to write whenever I have a complete sense of what's going to happen. And right now I'm just enjoying the end of this second book. And hopefully there's going to be more in the line.
Well, I can't wait to see what you write next because this kept my interest. I said, and I told a lot of people about it, by the way. And they were asking
me
who I was interviewing today, and I was telling them about the book, and they all want to read it. I said, Amazon will send you a copy anytime you want, for real.
Yeah.
So...
Thank you.
How does he know Jared, and how did they come up with the original data? And are there any vocabulary words, any terms that you feel listeners need to understand?
Well, we have to understand basically how AI works. AI is a statistical, it's a method of statistically supercharging lots of data, and the world is filled with data out there. What these people are using, the Interpol guys, and also the people who are writing the software as a malware to influence people to commit crimes in a particular way, are using social data, are using psychographical data, are using data that, according to the literature in psychology and academics, mainly focuses on the dark triad, dark traits, egoism, Machiavellism, whatever people let come out through their social media usage. And using this data, they're able to recreate a sort of pattern that would fit a person. And in fact, these types of tools, however improbable, are not only fiction, but they exist. And police forces around the world actually use them, Interpol itself. So we have now something to ground ourselves with, and it allows us to examine the plot in a more lighthearted way. This is the world that we're living in, so it's a fun way to get introduced to the possibilities of technology in order to better protect ourselves.
Wow, this is so amazing, though. So we have two characters that we need to talk about. Aza, who turns on Charles, and Khalid, who I didn't trust. So those two. And how does the machine know, how did they learn who the victims were and the role of the murder machine? How did they find out?
Well, one is an administrator, Aza. The other one is a police enforcer, which is not a very good character. And they're trying to use the systems for their own political benefit. You know, there are many forces in today's world that use similar technologies to assess either political or psychological leanings on behalf of people that are people of interest. These people stand in different sides of the barrier. And I think they fit the purpose in the plot, we provide an entertaining plot for the character to work through this maze of characters and scenery, essentially, and find two things: the killer who committed all those murders, and second of all, the instigator and the user of this AI machine tools.
Well, one of the premises I realized, because Jared aligns himself with the prince, how do we realize this is about the control of the system, change in perspective, and those who believe in freedom and those who don't? And that's a big part of the book. Some people want freedom, and of course some people want to control the world. So how do you deal with that? That came across very clearly.
Yes, thank you for noticing. I think that's the main point. We live in a world that we have freedom of information and discussion, but at the same time, there's the capability for the first time in history to utilize this information, not for our benefit or for our enrichment or for us learning more about how the world works, but for a sinister means and outcomes. I think Manos is an idealist. He believes that his effort, like a good digital Sherlock Holmes, is to dig in and find the truth and find who these people are and who have written these systems, but also who the killers are. And soon one thing leads to the other, and he discovers that there are powers larger than himself or his beliefs. And I think by the end you recognize that there are things that just an individual is too weak to achieve, and that would give us an idea of how the battle of the individual versus an authoritarian system would form in the future.
So what happens at the Balloon Festival, and who is Jamal Musa, and you're going to hear different voices. It's not just one voice that you hear. How did you create the different characters' voices that we get to hear how they justify their own way of thinking?
Well, you know, the other administrators of the government, the functionaries of the system of digital control, but the politicians are also the police. But it's also the people who are doing a festival, a balloon festival. So you're trying to bring them all together and have everything make sense in the end. And I think what happens in the end is that we discover, without wanting to spoil anything, that they're simply powers larger from an AI Sherlock Holmes who's going to uncover everything. So I think it's not a black and white ending, but I feel that these types of endings always serve better the truth, and that's what we're doing. In this business, we're primarily truth tellers.
This really, really, it's so controversial. People have different viewpoints, I imagine. So how would this put the different countries in the world? Some would agree and some wouldn't. And how does that happen? Like America may vote for freedom, and this country may say, no, the prince may want to control. So how do you deal with that?
It's a very difficult thing to deal with. And, you know, most people, the vast majority, never have an opportunity to make the choice. They either born or communicate in a free system or in a non-free system. And things get muddier also because even in free systems, you have to fight always to preserve the rights of the individual. And in unfree systems, you get seduced by benefits that get provided by a sense of society, communality. So this is a very complicated world. It would make no justice to simply separate it as an authoritarian versus a liberal world. But the fight is there, and it's primarily a fight that each one of us gives primarily on his own, imagining how a new universal system could actually work.
Now, I have my review in front of me. I have to tell you, I just hope I got this right. It took me a long time to write this, and I have to fix it. For some reason, when I'm typing on my computer, it doesn't correct my mistakes. So if there's any mistakes, what can I say? I just corrected the promo for your show. This happens all the time. So the novel moves, I'm going to read it from my review, in different directions. A man who faces obstacles as he tries to narrow down the killers. But what codes and technology does he need in order to do this? How can he actually stop this?
Well, he's pretty well-versed in machine learning. Machine learning is an area of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Machine learning is what makes him move. And that's why the entire series is called The Machine Murders. It's not because they are perpetrated by a machine, but it's because he's using machine learning to solve the mysteries that come across him, either in Greece, during the first book, Island Buoys, or in Dubai and the United Arab Emirates in the second book, which is called Desert Balloons. So knowing how to create statistical models, knowing how to treat and process data, what types of algorithms to use, and what types of systems to look after, is his superpower. He's an inmate, his girlfriend.
Well, nothing ever goes perfectly, I know. So how do you describe the downfalls of some of those involved? And how and why did you create the interactions between Manu and Indy? That was interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah. Well, he was chasing after you know, his whale, sort of, because Indy was is proven to be the instigator, but somebody more than that. I don't want to spoil again.
No.
Of the machine learning system. So this interaction is between somebody who idealistically looks for the truth and wants to solve murder and to solve the problems that are created by these systems, and Indy is simply a more cynical professional in the dark market that he operates in. And the interaction between the two is something that I long had in my head, even when I was writing the first book. Because essentially, when you begin writing something, you know it in its entirety. Otherwise, you wouldn't begin doing it. So I hope your readers enjoy this interaction.
I'm gonna have to fix this. I didn't even realize how many words I wrote. I didn't give away anything, but it's like really, really weird. So you gave a time limit. How come you took 10 hours to find what they were looking for? And who is Zayed, Wendy? I got so excited I couldn't put this down. I couldn't wait to see how it ended.
Well, you know, it's part of the plot. What happens there? There's always you can hear a timer ticking. Because in both novels, what happens is that Manos has a week to solve them. So you always are in a hurry when you're facing this issue. The killer is going to kill more people. People are getting abducted. Political tensions rise. His administrative head is trying to sort of constrain him because he doesn't want the secrecy of the entire Interpol program to reveal itself. So I think you have nice ticking clocks all around, and these are what would give the rhythm in any work of fiction.
So Manu, I'm looking for my review again. So how does he deal with the final confrontations? He has to open his eyes to the harsh realities and secrets. So how does he deal with that? And where will he, I mean, he's going to end up somewhere, but I'm not going to say where. I mean, the fact that besides AI, what other technology did you have to use in order to create this novel? Because it just seems more like that. And does a person converse with AI? Is there a voice there? Because some of them are saying within school there are voices and you converse with the AI. That would be eerie.
No, she doesn't. She converses with May mainly. So you have a character because she's in a different place. This is Singapore. So she can always speak to her like we're speaking now via earphones. And that gives you a sense of a twin plot, which on one hand runs on computers because it has to do with AI, what types of models you're using, and what types of data you're using, you need, how you do the pre-processing, how you do the testing, the validation, and whatever brings you results in the AI world. And you have this virtuality in this type of plot. And you have a second plot, which is what happens in reality. Because at the same time that he's trying to solve these deeply intellectual problems, he's being chased after, he's getting shot, he's riding in balloons, and he's trying to escape all types of nefarious characters. So I think this is what makes both books of the machine murderers interesting to the average reader, because there is a dual plot always. One is intellectual, and the other one is physical.
Well, you have to understand this is different than most people read. And each chapter has its own part, especially the one that says fear of death. That got me. And the fact that May was so loyal to him, that's amazing too, because you wonder sometimes, Is there, with artificial intelligence, you get the feeling that is it going to take over the jobs of people? Because in some schools already they're using it, and in some other places, do you think that people are going to be like obsolete in certain things as a result of AI intelligence?
Well, to be honest with you, Fran, I don't know. It looks like
hope
some
not.
Of the jobs that we've been doing so far are going to be supplemented initially and replaced gradually. It also looks
mm-hmm.
like there are going to be a myriad of other jobs that are going to be necessary for us. So we're working with AI, I don't know, we're discussing becoming a prompt engineer or becoming somebody who, uses data to enhance the emotion qualities of these machines. We're gonna find ourselves pretty soon in a completely different world.
Yeah.
But we did so also in the Industrial Revolution. We had to leave the farm and we went to the cities. There were no jobs in the cities. We had to invent them. We invented accounting and lawyering and other jobs, service jobs, in the beginning of the last century. And it worked out just fine. We became a lot richer, and we multiplied, and we prospered. So we might do the same now. There were like 30% of people worked in agriculture in the early 1900s,
yeah.
And another percentage is like 2%, 3%. Essentially, all those jobs were gone. Nothing happened to us. We found other ones. But what we need to do, and I think what's essential for the educational system, is to be able to interact with these tools,
mm-hmm.
to see AI as a guide and a co-worker, and to really struggle and make the struggle to engage with it and use it and learn about it. And as I said before, the best way for somebody who doesn't have technical capabilities to learn about new technologies is by reading a good novel, a good book. And so that's what I try to give to people.
Well, I didn't get the first book. They didn't ask me to read that one. They asked me to read this one.
I
didn't get
it over to you.
Yeah, I would like that because I get a better grasp of it. Now, before I forget, because otherwise I'll get yelled at them, Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
New York Times author mm-hmm. Adam Sykes is going to be here with The Underhanded. On the 8th, Dr. Reverend Gloria Mitchell will be talking about her book, I Trust Him. She's amazing. On the 10th, I'm going to do what I do best. I'm a reading and writing specialist with my professor, Dr. George Cavuto. We're going to talk about iatrogenics in psychology and iatrogenics disorder in reading and learning disabilities. And that's just some of April. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that R.G. Belsky, Dana Perry, I have three books to talk about on the 18th on his new series with Nikki Cassidy. And that's just some of it. My show's booked to the end of August, people. So if you have anything coming out, just let me know real soon. So...
Absolutely.
When Manna is, it's amazing. It's amazing. When Manna was caught, you get the feeling that there's something that he's not. That there's more than that, and he's in the hot seat. The question and answers are often cryptic and vague. How do we know that Manna is clever and intricate? Because he doesn't get fooled that easily, and he's very careful with his answers.
Well, yes, she has a history. He's chasing after a murderer. He's been chased by local authorities because he's broken a few rules. That's what makes him interesting as a character. But also, he's not entirely 100% innocent. So there's lots to uncover in the end. And I look forward for people to reach the stage where they. They finally understand the plot, what's been happening from the beginning. Here and there you get hints and insights and red herrings, and by the end I think you get a full picture of what he's been through for the last year. have to understand that for Manos, AI has been around for more than 20 years. It's not something that happened yesterday. So he's pretty well versed to use it and to understand its power and dynamic in creating and solving murders.
So how will you get? I know you're on a tour with Partners in Crime. I love them; they're the best. How are people receiving the book? The ones that give you the reviews? I haven't read them. Wait till they read mine.
Yes, the book has been just out, and hasn't been more than a month. I hear people like it a lot. People, you know, I wanted it to be better than the first. I think I've reached that goal. People seem to be enthused with Manos and his adventures and escapades.
Well, I like May too, because I feel that in her situation, it's amazing that she's just so loyal to him, that she doesn't give up, which is really amazing. So is Mano loyal to anyone?
She's loyal to Data, because she's a data scientist. Other than that, he goes where Data brings him. And that, you know, in a very peculiar way, makes him similar to other characters of crime fiction that always follow the clues, no matter what. Headstrong, so is May. He's always trying to uncover what he never takes anything for granted. I think the loyalty to the truth is to one characteristic and one thing you want to have in a character of crime fiction.
I was just looking at the book, which is in front of me, staring at me, saying, "Open me." What does the algorithm watch mean? What is the meaning of that term?
What's the term again?
Algorithm watch.
Yes, that's an NGO. It's right at the end.
Yeah.
Where he decides to donate some funds that he's received. But, you know, there are many NGOs and organizations out there who want to promote fairness in data management and in the way that we're using those explosive machine learning tools to better our situation and to help our use cases without provoking harm. Because the thing about AI is that it's not going to take over anytime soon, but as a big one entity, but it may in the future provoke serious damage in sectors when it's not applied correctly or when it uses data that is applied carelessly and without further pre-processing that's going to protect people from its nefarious use. So it's a tool. It's a multitude of tools. It's like electricity, and you cannot simply protect people by protecting one electron versus here, and then the other, and then the other, and checking them all the time. It has to do mainly with the way it's set up and the incentives people have. Good people have to use it correctly and not harm people.
What happens in the book? I don't want to give away too much. What happens in the book when they figure out who the person is that kills it? So what do they do? What happens? How does that person get what they deserve? Of course, the information comes from the machine, which is great. Too bad they can't do that now. But
yes.
How does that work with the person that's guilty?
Well, they find a way to put him away.
That's nice.
It's nice, and it's one good thing about a closed, washed system, more authoritarian than the U.S. and Europe, perhaps, that you have there. The Middle East has lots of Chinese influences. Lots of police data is appropriated to 559. We all hope it's working out for them.
Now, the ending reveals certainty. So, if you were going to write the next one, where would you just see Manu and May next? Or are you going to keep them? Would you keep them together? Or is she ever going to work in the same place? I love that character.
Well, they're an inseparable couple by now, and I think the way I feel about that is because one is the art of data science, and May is the science of data science. And you need both to create a good machine learning system and be able to provide AI narratives. So they're stuck with each other. But they seem to be very fond of each other, and that works out. We'll see. We'll see where they're going to come up next.
Oh, you have to write another one. Now, the last chapter is a little baffling. How would you describe exoplanets?
Well, exoplanets are planets which are similar to Earth in structure and in distance from their home star. And that means that they can more easily support life than planets who are very far from their star. So we have many exoplanets. We've discovered in the last 20 years many planets similar to Earth. And this is what Charlie is looking after. That's why you're mentioning that. Because she's an astronomer.
Yeah.
And Manus has a thing for her, doesn't he?
Well, I'm looking at the book. You have no idea. I give my books away. And I was telling everybody about them, and everybody wants a copy. I said, you're going to have to get it yourself. Because, really, this is too good. I wonder how many people understand what you're trying to say. And I wonder if teenagers and kids would want to learn about AI in school, besides the kids that are they're using it for reading. So the children have like headphones on or something, supposedly, and they're reading, and the AI intelligence tells them what to do wrong. But I'm trying to figure out if they're reading silently and he's reading their minds, or if they're reading out loud. Because if you have 20 kids reading at the same time, that's kind of distracting. And the teachers are they're just watching, doing nothing. And that's not my way of teaching reading. So would you think teenagers and kids would want programs like that? They would want to learn in the schools? Because that sounds interesting.
Well, me and you, Khan, come from a generation that uses text for learning. And text is a very condensed way to gain knowledge. And whereas visual or all audio inputs are very horizontal way and perhaps superficial way to gain knowledge. But knowledge is going to be gained one way or another. So the best way for me, for a learned person in the late 2020s, would be for people to acquire the super skills to use both text, i.e. reading books, and using audio from their AI agents. And visual from their AI tools to get the best of all worlds. So this is a cry for trying to make reading stay and be relevant, continue to be relevant as a form of transmission of knowledge that's really condensed and quite powerful yesterday, now, and hopefully forever.
Two last questions. What would happen if there really was a machine that would detect machine murders? Would that help law enforcement, or would just help rogue people? What would happen if there really was a machine that could do that? I think that would be really cool.
Well, data scientists working in police organizations today use machine learning tools and scenes from data gathered from cell phones and from usage and from web use. So this is not something as outlandish as we may think, because we leave lots of digital tracks some of these systems already are in existence and in play in certain organizations. Now, the thing that the novel did was I tried to take that to the extremes. I said, okay, if you have all the data possible, we know, for example, that Meta and Google and these organizations have data points from way back for each one of us. If you have all this data available, can you really convince an already bad person? You know that because he exhibits dark traits and metrics to do that and establish that. Can you really guide this type of person to commit something bad in a particular way? So this is, I believe, a more fictional way to examine this question. I believe you can.
Well, I read something, because I read a lot, on Google the other day. It was really, and I looked it up. There is a company, a science company, that's using AI intelligence to create a device that can detect every single disease that a person has without having to do the, yeah, scary. I don't even like going to the doctor to get it to find out if whatever, anything anymore. But, yeah, this is supposed to be some kind of AI intelligence that they're using, and there's an awful lot of different organizations and stuff that are implementing it. So before we end, what is next for you, and where can we find out more about you and your work? This has been fascinating. This is really good.
Thank you, Fran. Well, you can visit the book's website, themachinemurders.com. And I think that's the best way to reach out to find out who I am. You can look me up in interviews and things that I've done. And also, of course, you can buy the books on Amazon. You can download the audio version of the first book, The Machine Murder Silent Voice. It's an excellent telling from David Poy. And you can find this in Spotify and wherever you get your Audible or wherever you get your audiobooks. And other than that, my plan is to read, to continuously engage with the new tools, and even... you know, program some of them. So I don't know about the next book. I think it's going to be at least 2 years off from now.
Well, whatever you write, just send it to me because I'll read it. And I was telling my 11-year-old nephew has an IQ of about 1,000. He's brilliant. And when I was telling Robbie about this book, and he says, "You got to get me a copy. I want to read it," and he would understand it. That's how smart he is. And he said he's interested in AI intelligence, so I'm going to have to get him a copy because he said, "Oh, my God, you're really doing that?" I go, "Yeah." People don't understand that what makes your book different is unique. The topic is different, and it's not like the same murder mystery with murders. It's just different. But I want to thank you so much. I don't want you to get too much of a cost. Thank you so much. This has been really great. And whatever you write, I hope you send it to me, and I hope you do another tour with Gina. And all of them, because they were excited about this, too.
Thank you, Fran, and thanks to Gina as well. You guys have a great time.
Everybody have a great day. It's beautiful outside. It's only 25 degrees here, but we don't care. I hope you're having a better weather in Greece. Everybody have a great day, and bye.
Yes. Take care. Bye-bye.